After the Bible, few books are more influential than one written well over 300 years ago. And that literary masterpiece is our focus next on Renewing Your Mind. Welcome to the program today. I'm Lee Webb. John Bunyan published The Pilgrim's Progress in 1678. And though it's one of the most widely circulated books published in the English language, many people today are not familiar with this epic work. Our special guest on Renewing Your Mind today would like to change that. Dr. Derek Thomas is senior minister at First Presbyterian Church in Columbia, South Carolina, a longtime seminary professor, and we're pleased to call him one of our Ligonier Ministries teaching fellows as well. He's also an expert on Bunyan and his classic work, and he's produced a 19-part teaching series for Ligonier Ministries called The Pilgrim's Progress, A Guided Tour. We're going to feature the entire series over the next several weeks here on the Saturday edition of the program. But before we do that, I'd like to share an interview I did with Dr. Thomas about his series. Dr. Thomas, welcome to Renewing Your Mind. We're glad you're with us.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
You have a sober warning for your seminary students who admit they've never read this epic piece of literature. What is that warning?
That this could be the very first generation of Christians since the late 17th century who have never read Pilgrim's Progress, the most important book published in the English language, second to the printing of the English translation of the Bible. And it is, I think, in the last 25, 30 years that that has been the case, certainly since post-Second World War, there's been a decline in reading this great, great book. And when I was converted in 1971, it was one of the first books that I was given. I was given a leather-bound copy. It wasn't something that was planned. It was, I think, in the 1970s, viewed as, what does a young Christian need? Well, he needs a good Bible, a good church, but he also needs Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And
that's a ringing endorsement.
Well, I fell in love with it.
You haven't read it just once. You read it every year, is that right?
That's been my plan, and I usually take it with me when I'm on a journey that's going to take me more than 2 or 3 days. If I fly somewhere, that's going to be a long flight. And it's strange to me, given that millennials are into fantasy literature, it seems strange to me that they wouldn't find the gripping narrative of Pilgrim's Progress, parts one and two, and that's another issue, equally interesting. But I do find, I mean, I do this little survey in my class every year at the seminary at RTS, and typically, my seminary class will consist of late 20, early 30-somethings, and I'll just say, how many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress? And in a class of, say, 25, 30 people, perhaps one, two, perhaps a third might have started but never finished it, and so on. And then I give them my little spiel about how vitally important Pilgrim's Progress is.
To the point that you question their salvation, is that correct?
Well, maybe not that. But I do question their commitment and love for Reformed theology. If we are committed to the Reformed faith, we find ourselves like Ligonier Conference, Q&A, and RC is on the platform with some others, and the usual questions arise. And many of those questions, probably 8 out of 10 of those questions, are questions about the Reformed faith, they're about Calvinism, and they're about the experience of Calvinism. How do I know that I'm elect? How do you reconcile God's sovereignty and man's responsibility? And all of these questions are addressed in narrative style, in pictorial language, fast-paced and gripping in Pilgrim's Progress. And I just never fail to learn something. I've been reading this book for, well, all of my adult life. studied it at some depth. I've probably read most, if not all, of what's been written about Pilgrim's Progress at some point. I'm in the process of trying to finish a book on Bunyan, and I never fail to find something in Pilgrim's Progress that I hadn't quite seen before.
Each time you read it?
Each time you read it, you get a sense, maybe not, I've never seen this sentence before, I've never seen this paragraph before, but it's why did he put this paragraph here at all? Or why in this conversation? Or why does he keep repeating something? You know, one of the things that Bunyan loves to do is to tell the story of his conversion. In part one, it's Christian's conversion, or it's Faithful's conversion. And they keep on repeating it. Every time they seem to come to a little pause in the journey, they begin to talk, or maybe it's the end of an evening, and one of them will start rehearsing the narrative of how he came to the Lord.
He's being prepared to give a reason for the hope, right?
Right. And he's also, I think, saying to us, and Bunyan is a preacher, and that's what I sense when I read Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan is preaching to me. Preaching, not in the contemporary sense. Preaching is a pejorative term. Forcing your opinion down somebody's throat who doesn't really want to hear it. But I mean preaching in the biblical sense of somebody who's passionate about conveying life-giving and life-invigorating truths.
Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with The Pilgrim's Progress, it is an allegorical tale about the journey that the central character, Christian, takes from a place called the City of Destruction to the Celestial City. It is a harrowing journey at times, and it begins with these words, "As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where was a den, and I laid me down in that place to sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a man clothed with rags, standing in a certain place, with his face from his own house, a book in his hand, and a great burden upon his back." That burden, as you might imagine, is Christian's sin. But he is converted and freed from that burden on his back. That doesn't mean his journey to the celestial city is easy. But Dr. Thomas, it is a journey that makes the story so relatable, correct?
I do think getting ourselves under the skin of Christian is important, because when you see what Christian experiences, you say to yourself time and time again, yes, I have been there. I have met this person. I've met Mr. Legalist. I've met Mr. Formality. I've met Timorous, who seems to be frightened about the smallest little thing and whose assurance is shaken very quickly. I've met these giants like Interpreter and Faithful, and these godly Christian friends and mentors that you can identify in your
right.
life. You know, one of the reasons I like Pilgrim's Progress so much today, and why it's so relevant, is because in the church today, you know, what are the hot button issues today? Law and grace. I cannot move. I cannot have a conversation. I can't read a Facebook entry. I can't read a tweet without bumping into this law grace issue. And sometimes when I read some of these accounts, I think, have these people never read church history? And the answer is no, of course they haven't read church history, because if they had, they'd realize that there's nothing new under the sun and none of these things are new. Because John Bunyan is dealing with law and grace. The whole issue of the third use of the law, is there a category of ought for the Christian life? Are Christians obligated to obey the law? Can you suggest to a Christian that there is an imperative? You must do X, Y, or Z. And there are consequences if you don't. Or is it simply a matter of letting Jesus do all the obedience for you and you simply rest in your justification and do what you want? And be somewhat triumphalist in your failure.
Right.
Celebrate your failure. Now, all of those issues are in Pilgrim's Progress.
Well, and it's interesting you should bring that up, because I couldn't help but think of Ligonier's 2014 National Conference and our theme, Overcoming the World. And it touches on these very topics that we're talking about, these very themes that we find in Pilgrim's Progress. I'd like to play just a portion of your last address at our 2014 National Conference, and it deals directly with the topic of temptation. Let's listen to that.
Every time you're tempted to sin, you must ask the question, can I bring Jesus into this? Try it. I guarantee that what you're thinking is, I've left Jesus outside the door. When I close the door and I switch on my laptop, what I do in my own private time has got nothing to do with anyone else, and it has nothing to do with Jesus. I pick Jesus up when I close the lid. And my dear friend, that is as far away from a biblical ethic as you can possibly get. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You are in union and communion with Christ. The body is Christ's body. And that's Paul's ethic here in 1 Corinthians 6 in a very specific setting. Be not conformed to this world.
That's Dr. Derek Thomas addressing the many people who attended our 2014 National Conference, Overcoming the World in Orlando. Dr. Thomas, I couldn't help but think of Christian and the temptations that he faced in the Pilgrim's Progress, and how what we're talking about in this great book is applicable to the modern Christian.
It's surprising just how many temptations Bunyan actually addresses, you know, in a book that's the third quarter of the 17th century, at the very peak of Puritanism, that Bunyan addresses sexual temptation. He addresses the temptation to despair and suicide. You know, when they're in the dungeon of giant despair, they are at their wits' end, and Christian is tempted to take his life. Now, that was a very daring issue. It was a sensitive issue. It was possibly even more sensitive in the 17th century than it would be today, especially among Christians. And the reality of what it means to be a Christian, the robustness with which Bunyan paints the Christian life, that it's a warfare, that it's hostility, that it's encountering opposition and enemies and folk who are out there to harm you and kill you, the reality of Satan and his wiles, the reality of inner temptation and inner struggle. I mean, all of these Bunyan addresses in this fantasy narrative, allegorical, if you like, genre, which is Pilgrim's Progress.
You know, he's equipped. Once that burden falls off his back, he then is continuing the journey to the celestial city. There are challenges every step of the way, and that's what makes the story so exciting, as you well point out. And I'm struck by this encounter he has with Timorous in Mistrust. And Mistrust says, yes, said Mistrust, for just before us lies a couple of lions in the way. Whether sleeping or walking, we know not. And we could not think if we came within reach, but they would presently pull us in pieces. Dr. Thomas, I'd love for you to read Christian's response to that. Would you?
Then said Christian, you make me afraid. But whither shall I fly to be safe? If I go back to mine own country, that is prepared for fire and brimstone, and I shall certainly perish there. If I can go to the celestial city, I am sure to be in safety there. I must venture. To go back is nothing but death. To go forward is fear of death and life everlasting beyond it. I will yet go forward.
I will yet go forward. He was resolved to go forward. And I think it's interesting what he wrote there, what Christian said, that he looked forward to a fear of death. He was not candy coating what lay ahead, right?
Right. And his description of Christian passing through the river is a very graphic one, because he sinks beneath the waters. And if it wasn't for his companion who lifted him up above the water. So Bunyan is very honest that Christians can fear the process of dying, but the certainty that beyond it lies life everlasting. When he lost his burden, he was given this roll or this seal, which I take it to be assurance. The assurance that we are the Lord's people, the assurance that we are His, that we are in union with Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And here is Bunyan saying to Timorous, the way forward is difficult because there are these two lions, and we may talk about that later. But such is the fear of going forward that he thinks about now going back. And you hear this inner turmoil within himself, which we all have when we're dealing with temptation. Shall I do this or that? And there are consequences, the good that I would, I do not, the evil that I would not, that I find that I do, or wretched man that I am. And then he discovers, you know, he looks inside for assurance, but the assurance is gone. And the more you look at sin, you know, that's the problem with celebratory triumphalism, celebrating failure, that there is no assurance in that in itself. What is the mark? What is the evidence that sin is forgiven? If you love me, keep my commandments. And so the keeping of the commandments is an evidence of faith. Well, Christian here has lost that evidence. He realizes he'd slept in this little wayside, this arbor on the hill, and the roll fell out of his pocket, and he has to go back and retrieve it, and so on. And it's Bunyan teaching, you know, that when we sin, you know, our assurance is often disturbed, and that the way of assurance is always in the direction of obedience, and not away from the direction of obedience.
Which character does Bunyan most resemble? Is it Christian, or let me ask that in terms of his conversion?
Yes, I think Christian is biographical of Bunyan himself. I think after the publication of Part One, some Christians read the narrative and began to get into pastoral difficulties because their conversion wasn't like Christians. Theirs wasn't a sudden conversion. It wasn't one that had a prequel of 2 or 3 years of conviction of sin. My wife, to whom I've been married for 38 years, you know, she grew up in a Presbyterian home. It was 2 services every Sunday and Sunday school, and then something in the afternoon where they sang hymns around the piano. She can't remember a day when she wasn't a believer. She doesn't remember, you know, oh, in that period of my life, I wasn't a Christian. But my experience is totally different. Mine is much more, it's not quite like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. I didn't go through years of conviction of sin. It was more like 2 days. But in the second part of Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan addresses that. And Christiana's conversion is very gentle.
Well, earlier you mentioned fantasy literature being popular among young people today, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the Chronicles of Narnia, both of those adapted to film. Do you ever see a time when Pilgrim's Progress would be made into a movie, and would you want that to happen?
I think that Pilgrim's Progress is too allegorical. The point of the narrative is deliberate. Whereas in Lord of the Rings, I mean, you can enjoy Lord of the Rings and have no idea. I mean, the first time I read Lord of the Rings, I was 15. I wasn't a Christian. I never even once thought in turning these pages, oh, this is a Christian story. It never occurred to me, and actually still rarely occurs to me, to treat it as allegory. I don't think it is. I think it's the triumph of good over evil. But so in that sense, it has a Christian apologetic. But, I don't look for Jesus in Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit. Now, it's a little more in your face in the Narnia Chronicles, for sure. Maybe to a degree that some of us might have some misgivings about certain things, given Lewis's view of the atonement, for example, and the death of Aslan depicts a view that is close to a ransom to the devil view, which was more or less Lewis's view, a Christus Victor view of the atonement. But I think that this is a perfect example of why, and this isn't a Luddite statement on my part, I prefer the book. I love the feel of a book. And Pilgrim's Progress is, I think, one of the most eloquent commentaries, theological commentaries, on the nature of the Christian life.
I love the last line of the author's apology, the very beginning of the book, where Bunyan writes, "Oh, then, come hither and lay my book, thy head and heart together." He's calling us today, I feel like, to read this book and soak it in. What would you convey to the modern audience who maybe picked it up when they were young and couldn't get through the allegory, couldn't get through the literary style? What would you say to encourage folks to read this great work today?
Well, it's no more difficult than reading the Bible. It's nowhere near as difficult as a Charles Dickens novel, for sure. You can enjoy the book at several levels. I mean, you can enjoy the book as a cracking good story. And Bunyan knew how to tell a good story. I think he loved to talk. I think if you spent a few minutes with Bunyan, you'd be there for several hours because he just loved to talk. I think we have few excuses today in the sense that there are multiple editions, from the original editions, the Oxford University Press editions, which are my favorite, or the Collins paperback edition, or children's editions. And there's no reason whatsoever why, if you introduce these to your children in their early teenage years, maybe even before that, and get them to love it, get them to love this story. Where are the Sunday school classes studying Pilgrim's Progress? I have Sunday school classes asking me all the time, what can we study? We want to study something. What book would you recommend? Because it has to be new. It has to be written within the last, year
or
whatever.
Has to be relevant, right?
Right. And I would just challenge Sunday schools. And I think that we just owe it to the testimony of three centuries that this has helped Christians more than anything else. And I think we need to recapture a love for Pilgrim's Progress.
Well, let me close then with John Bunyan's words at the close of his apology for the book, the very beginning. He said, "Oh, then, come hither and lay my book, thy head and heart together." We encourage you to read this great work, written more than 300 years ago, The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. We've been privileged to have as our special guest an expert on this great literary piece, Dr. Derek Thomas. Dr. Thomas, thank you for being with us today to share your thoughts.
Thank you.
Today you heard Dr. Derek Thomas talk about how important and how influential this book by John Bunyan is, The Pilgrim's Progress. Dr. Thomas believes that all of us should make it a priority to read it. I have to confess that up until a few years ago, I had not read it all the way through. Now that I have, I can tell you firsthand what a wonderful encouragement to my faith this book has become. If you'd like to read it for the first time or reread it, I believe you'll find Dr. Thomas's series on The Pilgrim's Progress to be helpful in understanding it. His series is entitled The Pilgrim's Progress, A Guided Tour. It's yours for your gift of any amount when you call us at 800-435-4343 or when you go online to renewingyourmind.org. It's 19 lessons on 3 DVDs. So again, call us at 800-435-4343 with your gift of any amount, or you can make your request online at renewingyourmind.org. Well, next Saturday, we will bring you the first lesson in Dr. Thomas's series. It's titled, The City of Destruction. You won't want to miss this journey through the Pilgrim's Progress. We'll see you next Saturday here on Renewing Your Mind.